Welcome to the Padded Room Outpatient Files. My name is Darian. Joining me today is a man that needs zero introduction from me at any point. Drummer of Die Monster Die, half of the horror juggernaut that is the Corpse Cast, and just an all-around solid, dashingly handsome individual. It's Shane Diablo, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I like that. I like that. My favorite part was the dashing, handsome fellow. I like that.
Well, you have what we call classically handsome features there, Shane. You know that. I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, it's my mother called it big bones. you got big bones.
I'd like to have at least one big bone, but if I have, you know, my choice, I'll take a few. It's no big deal.
Yeah, or like me, you can have them all.
That's true. You're doing well, from what I understand, Shane. Is that true?
I'm doing okay. So, I'm living a dream, as it appears from this table I'm sitting at now.
All right.
Yeah. It's going good for me.
Very cool, man. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the horror situation here, can you give us a full update on Die Monster Die and what exactly is going on with the band of late?
We're still around.
That's good.
You know, we've been around for 15, 16 years, and sometimes we kind of hide out, lay low, as the Facebook world goes. But, you know, we're just, we've always been around, and I guess we'll always be around. We've put out 10 albums, 8 albums, 9 albums, something like that.
Right.
And we're just, we're always kicking and we jam every week and, you know, just doing that no money making rock and roll band lifestyle thing.
Well, I certainly hope that turns around for you very soon, my friend.
We're 15 years in, so yeah, that's
you're about due, I believe.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. I'm glad to hear it. I was a little worried about you there when I heard that somebody left the band, but it sounds like you guys are keeping on with the keeping on.
Well, we actually have the original guitar player that was on, like, the, I guess you would call it, the classic albums.
Oh, boy.
The really good stuff. He's back in the band, and we got a great new bass player with us. It's a, you know, when you play in rock bands, you deal with that. Your people come, they go, you know, personalities clash. The guy that was in the band with us, Shadow Windhawk, he was only in the band for about a year and a half.
Oh, really?
Out of all the years that we jammed as a band, he was only there for this very last album that we released.
Okay.
And then he moved on to his other things. So
very cool. Yeah, you know, it's funny that this gets brought up, because I've often equated horror films to the rock and roll of movies. It's kind of like the counterculture, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when we talk about movies in general, the typical images that come to mind are the long, windy dramas and the love stories and the, you know, all the Academy Award style crap. But then you have horror films, and those are kind of like the things that everybody likes, but they don't really want to admit to liking. It's kind of I feel kind of the same way about rock and roll as it pertains to music in general.
Absolutely. Heavy metal, hard rock and all of that, it fits perfectly, especially heavy metal and punk. It fits perfectly with horror movies. It doesn't go good with, you know, spaghetti westerns and romantic comedies. It's made for heavy metal and horror, man. That's what it's all about.
You know? I agree completely, and you guys do a magnificent job of putting the two together. I love your music. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that's not easy for me to say, being a juggalo.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez. one of those guys. Oh, God.
You know what? Hey, I'm not a fan of the juggaloing. But I got to say, Zero, our lead singer, we had a conversation just 2 weeks ago about, he's like, they got some good stuff. And I was like, I heard we going chicken hunting and said, I'm not having that.
To be honest with you, man, I don't really blame you. And I understand the hate for the juggalo culture as it is. Man, some of those guys are just like fucking, you know, you stink, you don't have a job, I'm not going to give you my money. Thank you for noticing the Hatchet Man tattoos. But
I would give him money if he asked me at the 7-Eleven. If he was dressed in the goddamn makeup, I would say, oh, hell yeah, I'll give you a buck because you gave me a smile. You put a little smile on my cheeks, you know?
Well, you're a better person than I am, Shane. They're not getting anything from me.
If you come up and I had a girl today. I went down to what I call the creepy store down here to buy my groceries because there's some, you know. And I get hit up so often for change that the minute I saw her just trying to squeeze a tear out to go, and my car broke down the road, I just said, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it to spare because I gave it to the last guy that's car broke down, and that was just 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something. Although there was something that I noticed while I was getting my groceries that really kind of a worldly moment for me. I was in there getting groceries and I saw these two unbelievably beautiful girls, but they had brought, like, they worked for a mentally handicapped facility.
Oh.
And they brought a bunch of mentally handicapped people in to buy groceries and show them how to bag things up and pay for things and everything. And I was just like, that's sweet. But these girls were so smoking hot.
Wow. Right?
And so I'm up there paying for my groceries. And they're in another aisle paying for the groceries. And this one girl, this one handicapped kid comes over and he snuggles up to this beautiful, beautiful girl. And for a split second, I was like, wow, I wish I was in his shoes right now. Because he knew what he was doing. He's like, and she was like, all right, let's just get this going, get these groceries. And he's just feeling her up north. Ooh. And I was like, oh, you lucky son of a bitch. And I popped out of it. then I popped back out of it. But, it was just one of those moments where it's like, you lucky son of a gun, you.
God, it's almost worth faking it for a day or two.
Hell yeah.
Maybe. I mean, if you can pull it off, maybe. I don't know.
It takes commitment, though. That really takes commitment to say, I'm going to fake it to get in. There's your romantic comedy right there. That's a trademark. That's a guy that's in love with the lady that works at the mentally handicapped facility, and he basically pretends to be mentally handicapped so he can get closer. There's the movie trademark.
There it is.
There's all over that. Me and you.
We're writing it. I'm putting it on paper right now. You know, that it's funny you bring that up because that actually reminded me of a situation I was in, and it made me realize just what a racist asshole I am. Walk with me now, Shane, if you will, through memory lane.
Okay.
I'm with my dad, and as was our usual Sunday routine, we went down to the movies to watch a horror film. I don't remember what. I think it was The Grudge, if I'm not mistaken. But it's like a Sunday afternoon. The theater is empty. It's me and him and, like, maybe, I don't know, four or five other people. What do you call? The trailers start rolling. The movie's about 10 minutes in. And in walks just the blackest, thuggiest, just roughneck-looking dude I ever saw in my life. He's got his pants around his ankles. He's got the dread.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He's got the hat to the side, and he's, you know, I'm thinking, oh, great. And he doesn't find his seat just yet. He just kind of marinates around where you make the turn into the seating area. And I'm thinking, oh, great. He's got his whole family. He's going to come in here and start smoking weed. They're going to be laughing through the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, yeah, great. I guess I'll come back another day and watch it. And then about 5 minutes after that, he's still standing there. About 5 minutes after that, in walks a little old white guy, and he's all huddled over, and he's got like a cane. And this big black dude helps him to his seat and gets him his popcorn and his soda. And then in walks another little white guy and then a little old white lady. And this guy's basically just helping these elderly people get situated here in the theater. And once he does that, then he finally finds a seat and watches the movie quietly. And I am a giant racist asshole for thinking that this stellar young man was going to fuck up my movie experience.
Oh, hell yeah, you're a flaming racist.
God, I felt so ashamed of myself just for thinking that.
But it's all perspective, right? You kind of have to keep your guard up in every situation you do in life until it proves that it's not warranted, right?
It's true. I just hate the way that I jumped to conclusions and started judging people on the spot
Hey, I'm the king. I am the king of doing that, you know. I mean, it's just, it just spills out of you. You can't help it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
We're only humans, right?
I agree. Hey, let's cut the crap and talk about horror movies here, Shane Diablo, if we could.
That sounds delightful.
What would you say is your subgenre of choice these days?
My subgenre of choice. I don't know all the horror lingos, but I would say I'm a big fan of the Asian horror films.
Oh, really?
I like to watch a lot of those. If it's like the point of view or the what do you call that? The POV films, and if they're good, I can enjoy a film like that. The only problem is they're running out of ideas for why there's a bunch of, you know, security cameras going or someone happens to be filming it on their phone or whatever.
It's true. But
I like the demon stuff quite a bit too, you know, like the demons and ghost stuff if it's a good story. But
very cool.
If I had to pick, I would say the Asian horror films. I really genuinely like the majority of the things that I see.
Now, by that, do you mean like films out of Asia or Americanizations of Asian films?
Oh, totally Asian films. The remakes are okay sometimes, but there's something about that whole culture and the way they do things that even when they're kind of goofy, like Hao Su that we did on our show.
I remember that, yes.
everything about it is just strange, but, you know, they do, there's a creepy vibe that kind of hangs over all of their kind of horror movies if they're going for something serious. And maybe it's a little bit that I'm unfamiliar with that culture, as well as, you know, come on, you know, that if you're watching some American movie, you're like, that's stupid. Why would they do that? I know that. Well, you don't know that when you go into a movie that's, you know, filmed in a different place like that.
Oh, totally. And to be totally honest with you, man, those motherfuckers create tension and suspense like it's their job. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen the original Ring or The Grudge or all those. Just the use of like lofty fucking shadowy people walking down the hallway. God, that creeps the balls off me, man.
They love the little Asian girl with the hair hanging.
Oh, God, damn it.
And one thing that sticks in my mind is in Audition, just her going, making that sound when she's putting those needles in.
Oh, yeah.
You're absolutely right. They can build some tension and suspense. It's always weird too, like Dumplings and Audition and I Saw the Devil, and it's harder to put your finger on exactly where the plot's headed. You know what I mean?
At the very
end of the day, you're kind of like, I didn't see that coming.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's kind of the bane of American movies these days. Not that I'm shitting on American movies, but like if you were to go see like your latest Fast and Furious movie or The Expendables or whatever the hell you're into, you know what's going to happen. The good guy's going to come along. He's probably going to get roughed up, and then he's going to overcome the bad guy in the end, and that's pretty much it.
He's going to drive a race car through the, you know, 54th floor of a high-rise building, somehow got it up there. I don't know. I'm telling you, man, everyone's been going crazy for this Furious 7. Everyone I talk to is like, have you seen 7?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of them.
If you like fast
cars, maybe, then check it out.
Yeah, because that's what I'm totally into.
It's like, I don't have a fast car.
Me neither.
I don't care for Vin Diesel that much.
I don't mind him. I like Pitch Black. I thought that was pretty good.
I went and saw Riddick, and that was okay.
Not a fan of the Riddick. You know what I mean? I mean, because you start off with Pitch Black. Pitch Black is almost like it's a horror film, right? And then after that, you get into Riddick, and he takes this weird sci-fi action thing where he's got to show his muscles, and he's got arm butter on every 5 minutes. Hey, okay, yeah.
Without arm butter.
You need some arm butter.
Yeah, I love arm butter. It just looks so good on me when I'm out doing things, you know, with my fishnet shirt.
I've got the arm butter. Now I just need the arms to go with it.
Exactly. I'm working on that. yeah, I mean, I thought Pitch Black was part of the Riddick thing. Maybe
it is.
I haven't seen Pitch Black. Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's the first one, and it's a tried and true horror film. After that, you get into all the weird fucking people are invading shit and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're seeing this guy with his arm butter. You're like, hey, I think we got something with this guy.
Oh, yeah. Just
making these movies.
Oh, yeah. We got to put him in a fast car as soon as possible.
And then what do you do with the big buff guy in arm butter is you say, you know what? We gotta doll him up and make him a babysitter. And it'll be, you know, like Kindergarten Cop. We got to take this big dude and turn him. Oh, he's a sweetheart. Look at that. He's taking care of the kids.
Look at him. He's just a gentle giant. Now we have a PG movie that we could market.
Exactly.
Good times, man. Shane, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I don't want you to think about it. I just want you to fire it off as soon as I ask the question. Best horror film of all time. Go.
Well, that's The Exorcist.
Okay. Very cool.
The Exorcist, absolutely. I hate the fact that, you know, a lot of people have that same kind of list. But those movies were really creepy. And when I was a kid, when I saw The Exorcist, that scared the shit out of me. Oh, I mean, it was like, you know, I told a story on one of our podcasts a long time ago about, you know, watching The Exorcist, and I had a friend stay over, and we just had these puppies, you know. Well, I won't get too deep into it, but we just had, you know, I had a friend stay over, and we're watching The Exorcist, and it was like, turn this off, man. I just can't, I can't take this.
Wow.
And I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was on HBO, and we had left the TV running, and so I hear, fuck me. It's like what the? I can't escape it in my dreams.
Wow. You know? I had almost an identical experience with Evil Dead, because that initial scene where she's getting banged by the trees. I'm talking about the original Evil Dead, not the one that came out a few years ago. But she's getting banged by the trees, and for a second there, it's looking like she might be into it just a little bit. And for a, I don't know, 6 or 8 year old Darian, that just blew my fucking mind. And then she comes back and turns into the demon, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, next time I'm out in the sticks, I'm going to catch a tree limb up the butthole and probably get possessed.
Hey, you take one up the butthole, definite possession.
Yeah, dude.
I've read that in several, like, WebMD. It says that if you take a tree branch in your ass while you're out in the woods, you will get possessed.
Totally, man. Totally.
It's just the way it is.
Scary stuff. That's creepy, man, but it's a good time. Now, while I got you on the topic there, Shane, what would you say is the hottest sex scene you've seen in a horror film?
So you got me all verklempt there. the hottest sex scene. You know, the thing is, too, is my brain is so burned. Just from being an old man,
right.
It's like it might take me a minute here to think about the hottest sex scene in a horror film.
For me,
It's The Entity.
Oh God, yeah, that was rough, man. I don't know if I'd call that hot. That just made me kind of. I mean, it made me tingle in my little panties a little bit, but at the same time, it was like this is. She is not consenting to this activity.
It's pretty erotic. I remember when I was a kid, there was some pretty erotic sex scenes in The Howling, and it was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I was. This was back in the early 80s, and I was, you know, young and dumb and stupid. But I can't really think of anything. The remake of Friday the 13th, that chick, America Olivier, her name was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, the blonde in that, too. Perfect nipple placement.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad. Do you remember a movie from, I believe, the late 80s called Trick or Treat? Had Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne in it for like 8 minutes.
That's fucking erotic.
That's what I'm talking. The part where she's listening to the headphones and then the weird ghost hand comes out and starts finger blasting her in the back of the car.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Again, very confusing to a young Darian. Needless to say, I was at school the next day trying to get my headphones on all the girls. Didn't really work out.
It had the whole rhythm like do, do, do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that green smoke started wafting down, opened her blouse
up. Yeah, buddy.
And then wafted down and was like, yes, she was enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, totally.
Take me, demons.
Yeah.
Take me, devil. Take it.
But then, like, she takes the earphones off, and doesn't her ear come off with it or something like that?
Yeah, her ears melted to the head.
That's a good time, man. Shane, has any movie, I mean, I get it. We're all hardcore horror fans, and we've sold our souls to the horror gods. But at this late stage in the game, are there any movies out there that have still, kind of hit a nerve with you or disturbed you to a point?
Oh yeah, there's several of them. Mike likes to bring them up all the time. He's the wizard of just. Some are bizarre. Some are just absolutely just. Oh my God, I can't believe that. And some are just. Like, really? That's disgusting. but Martyrs was a sticker for me.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. Irreversible. Ooh. I watched it. I'll never watch it again.
Yeah. It's tough. That's tough action. It's pretty cool the way it's shot, and the acting is great and all that shit. But you get into that, I think it was like the last 20 minutes or so when they're having at it down in the tunnel, and you're like, fucking... Seriously, it's been like 12 minutes and this is still going on? Shit.
Yeah, we did. He lost a bet. He was doing the Cadaver Indies with Johnny Krug, and he lost a bet where he had to eat the egg salad sandwich. And it was, I didn't see a minute of this, but he was hacking and puking over slaughter vomit dolls. I'll never watch that.
You don't need to. It's just like a psychedelic trip with chicks spewing on each other and weird penis shots and stuff like that. It's not, I mean, it's gross, sure, but it's not any kind of an experience or anything, I don't feel.
Cannibal Holocaust was pretty intense. Just more for, I think more for the animal kind of cruelty in it that was, you know, I'm not a big fan of turtles. I don't really care what happens to them, but when you take a little monkey like that, no, yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah,
and I'll stand up and I'll say no, I don't like that.
Yeah,
and August Underground were just like, eh, yeah, I saw that and I don't need to see it again.
Yeah, I watched Necromantic for the first time last night. It's something. Have you seen Necromantic there, Shane?
I have not. Mike says I should watch that, but I haven't. He talks about how he never wants to watch it again or whatever, but no, I don't. I haven't seen it.
I don't think you need to. It's if you really want to see some people getting down with a dead guy, then go ahead. But as far as like, you know, a great story or anything like that goes, maybe not.
Right. I listened to the episode on Serbian film. That's one that I won't ever. Watch just because I don't need to.
Yeah. It's actually not a bad show. I mean, it doesn't, a lot of things are alluded to in regards to pedophilia and things like that. You don't actually see the insertion or anything like that, but it's just a movie, you know, and it's not a very good one. If you just take it at like the base value of the story, it looks good and stuff like that, but You could probably do without it.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that say about me that I'm just kind of like, yeah, I don't. I'm a huge horror fan. I like these horror movies, but there's just hey, come on, guy, that's too much. You know, in one sense, it's kind of like, well, that's lame. But I mean, I'll watch anything, but there's some stuff that you just can't ever get out of your brains.
That's true.
Point being, if you've ever watched the Bud Dwyer video of that guy actually committing suicide in front of the reporters, you really don't ever get to unsee that. It no. doesn't ever leave your mind. I can picture that guy slumped against the podium just draining out right now.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just certain things where it's like, you know, if Mike put Serbian film on our list, I'd watch it, absolutely. But I'm not going to go out of my way to see, you know, stuff. And all the crazy, creepy, disgusting bits and pieces of it has already been leaked all over. You know, people can't get enough of getting online and telling you the kickers of everything.
Ruining everything for you, of course.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's cool. But, I mean, in a way, it almost kind of boosts your horror cred. Because if you're at a party and you're like, you got your Evil Dead shirt on and somebody's like, oh, you're a horror fan? Have you seen a Serbian film? And you're like, no, I don't think so. And then, well, okay, you're not a real horror fan then.
Yeah, he's checking your cock size. Oh, yeah? You like Cindy over there? You like little Cindy over there by the microwave fucking having a fruity, having a Zima? Well, I noticed you're wearing that Evil Dead shirt. Have you ever seen a movie called Disgustoid Cunt Rape? And you go, no, I haven't seen that. Okay, well, that validates why you're going to go home with her tonight.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I'm going to go and watch you through the window.
Totally, man. Whatever. I mean, there is that horror elitist group out there that feels that, you know, because they've saw whatever German fucking 32-minute gross fest, that they're somehow better than you are. But, you know, it's fine. There's assholes everywhere. Shane, now, do you do the actual writing of the music for Die Monster Die or no?
I guess over the years I've wrote songs. I mean, I got an acoustic guitar and a bass here. I write on a bass guitar and then they kind of transpose it to guitar or whatever. But there's been about, I don't know, 10 or 15 songs. We have probably, I think it's 80, 90 songs now. So probably 15 of those I either wrote or had a hand in writing.
Very cool. Have you, are there any movies out there that have inspired you to write a song about or just in general?
It's funny because our singer Zero, he's always been kind of animate about not writing songs about horror movies, because that's just the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is to just go, well, little Carol Ann was sitting in front of the TV, and you know, or whatnot.
Right.
So we've only written one song called Dead Alive about the movie Dead Alive. That's the only horror movie song that we've ever written. He basically just says, you know, you take a creepy idea about something and turn it into a story. Mm-hmm. And try and fit it into X amount of lines, which turns out pretty good. I wrote the song Gravedigger Girl, and that was just kind of, you know, just, well, it's a stormy night and they're driving in a car and they wreck and she dies and, you know, or whatnot. And, I don't know, it just seems more interesting to try and write a real little story inside of, you know, it seems more, I guess,
challenging.
Yeah, it's more challenging and it's more your own if you're kind of taking the time. Just like with the music, you have to take the time to write it. Take the time to write the lyrics that tells a story that has probably been told 1,000 times over the years, but it's spun in a different direction or something, you know.
That's very cool. That's a rather involved creative process. So when you're putting one of these songs together, do you bring the whole band in or do you just kind of go off and do it on your own?
Well, when I've written a song, it's very simple. I, you know, I'll come up with the verse and the chorus and the bridge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take it to them and I go, hey, here's, you know, here's how this little tune goes. And if they go, hey, that sucks shit, then we go, all right, well, let's do something else then. and if they say, oh, I really like that, then, you know, we start putting the song together, and then Zero will go and write lyrics to it. Most of the time when we write songs, it's half drunk in the band room, and someone will come up with an idea, and we go from there, and, you know, by the end of the night, we have a song.
That's the best way to do it, though, probably, huh?
I think so. I mean,
feel like I get my best ideas when I'm either sleep deprived, or I've got a couple of shots in me, or I just ran a marathon or some shit like that. It's kind of weird how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you get nice and swashy down there in the band room, and you're like, hey, let's write it. We got a new song called, I'm going to butcher the title, the name. I'm going to call it Rogue Wolf right now.
Okay.
Because I can't remember the title of it. But, yeah, it's got the old...
Wow.
Yeah, it's got the whole Indian breakdown in there.
A little white zombie for you.
One of our guys is from the reservation, man, and so we just incorporate. What I really like about Die Monster Die is that there's no specific direction. We don't say, well, this doesn't sound horror punk. If we do a doo-wop song, mm-hmm. or we do a bluesy jam, or we do heavy metal. Everything's on the table, and you can hear that through the music.
I agree. It's good stuff, man. I think I have all the albums. Gravedigger Girl, you brought that up. That's probably your biggest hit, isn't it? Or the closest thing to one?
It was in 2003, that was on Honor Thy Dead, I think. And in 2003, we were fresh on the internet going, huh, this internet thing. And I was just searching around, just trying to figure my way out on the internet, and I found a group of people that were like, oh, if you're doing horror stuff, you know, it's called horror punk. And I went, oh, that's interesting. I think that's what we're doing. And there was a couple of websites where you could, you know, like MySpace, and there used to be one called IUMA, I-U-M-A, where you could put a couple songs up and people could find it. And a guy got a hold of me and said, his name was Andy Burke, and he said, hey, you guys are playing horror punk. You're like this band Blitzkid, and you're like this band called Calabrese and that. And we went, oh, all right. And so I started joining those groups. And so, yes, that was like the first song that we posted up on the internet. So it people found it really quick, and nice. And it kind of took off for us.
Very cool. How is life over at the Corpse Cast, my friend?
Well, he's big.
He is.
And he's very abrasive.
I noticed that myself.
He's big and abrasive, but loving. He's a teddy bear. You know, he's Mike.
Yeah.
And we all love him.
Arguably one of the nicest guys you can meet in the horror podcast community, if there even is such a thing. But we had the misfortune of traveling to Salt Lake City and hooking up with you guys for one weekend. And I remember coming into Bert's Tiki Lounge with like my hand out, like, hey, I'm gonna shake your hand there, big fella. And he said, oh no, I'm gonna squeeze you as hard as I can.
It's called the hug and lift.
And pick you up 3 feet into the air. And I'm looking back at Dale and Mike going, I think I'm being assaulted right now. But it was not to be, man. He's a great guy. I love that guy to death.
Yeah, he's a good man. I mean, he's big and bulky, and he can grab you and put you in a figure four in no time at all. You know, that's why I don't mess with him. I just obey his orders. And he's the dude that sits behind he's the dude behind the podcast, and he runs all the knobs and the Twitter, the handles and the jiggers and the
whistles,
you know, the whistles and all that. So
yeah, he is a sweetheart. I love that guy. Very cool, man. Is there anything on the horizon for the Corpse Cast that we need to not talk about or anything like that?
Well, the Corpse Cast, we just keep chugging on.
Right.
We did start premium, corpsecollective.com, if you go there and check that out. And it's premium where you can pay what you feel like it's worth, but it's got all of our video episodes. And there's somewhere it's up to 40 or 50, and some of them still need to be released.
But, wow.
Just a bunch of video and behind the scenes and audio bits that you miss or whatever, and trivia that Mike's doing now, and we're giving away stuff every month. But it's just a way to get us drunk and stuff every, for when we do the podcast.
Very cool. Very, very cool. You got the, now are you guys not on Zombie TV anymore? What happened with that?
I still don't know what's going on with Zombie TV. I'm pretty confident in saying that I don't think we're on it anymore because we haven't really heard much from them.
Right.
But that's kind of why we decided to just use corpsecollective.com and go, we'll just put everything on there and go from there, because this TV Roku box world is a crazy world we live in.
That's what I heard, man. I heard it's kind of like just a weird amalgamation of like different pirate-esque channels where you could just kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, the Roku, you can build a channel and you can do all this, but it's like, okay, well, who's going to watch it? You have to, it's hard to, I mean, I could probably put a channel up going, hey, this is called my muscle butter show, and I'm going to show you every week what I can do with this butter, but someone's got to watch it,
Exactly.
And I guess when it gets that easy, or there's so many facets for people to go to that they can pick and choose what they want to see. I don't know how big the Roku box ever got. Is it 5 million? Well, that's still not a lot of people.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, man. It's still out there. I almost picked one up the other day. So, I mean, there's that, right? But I guess it's like you subscribe to the channel and then that's how they get paid or something like that.
Well, the Roku channel, the Zombie TV, was just a completely free channel that you could pick up. Oh, I don't know if that's anymore. The CorpseCollective.com, the premium, if you go there, he spelled it all out, so you just click on the thing and you can read about what it is. But you can put $5, $10, $100, you can put $85,000 in there and donate it to us, whatever you want to, and you'll get full access to the trivia and all the video shows and some wacky little things we do on the side. Our podcast will always be free. It'll always just be, I don't know, we're at 140 something right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll always be free, but we're just, we need some beer money, man.
I don't blame you.
That's basically what it breaks down to, is the more you donate, the better bottle of whiskey we can get.
Absolutely. That's a good time, man. I like that. It's actually a pretty good deal, too, because if you think about it, you're getting all that extra content. You're getting the video shows. You guys do riff tracks, I saw is up there. What else? You get like some little behind-the-scenes stuff, and you get to decide how much you want to donate. So
yeah, it's not set at any price. If you're a complete cheapskate and you want to spend $1, you can do that, and then you can watch everything that's on there and be like, oh God, yeah, that's great, and then go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, it's probably not a sound business strategy, but if you're the consumer, then it's pretty hard to beat, I think.
Yeah, it's not really a business strategy at all. It was just like, what are we doing with... We filmed so many of those video episodes, and we have such a good time filming them with tow truck and everything else. And it was like, we'd get a hold of Zombie TV and say, well, when are these going up? And here's another 2 episodes. Here's another 3 episodes. And now it's kind of in limbo. We just decided, slowly but surely, we'll put all 40 or 50 of those episodes up. and we're still filming too. We haven't done one in a while, but we have such a good time when we get down there because it's just an absolute nightmare.
Well, it looks like you're having fun, and we're having fun listening to you guys having fun. So that's really all that matters, right?
Yeah, you know, I was going to say something about you padded rumors coming down to Salt Lake City. And, man, it was great to see you. It's great to talk to you right now, but it was great to see you guys and go, because I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And so it was really nice to see big old Dale come in. Oh, boy, there he is. Look at the sexy Nurse Nicole coming in, and Mike. How's Mike and everyone doing these days?
We're doing well. You'll notice they're not on the show anymore. They've moved on to different things, and that's kind of the bane of the podcast. And I think that you guys are probably the best example of it. Is that we really don't get paid to do this. We're probably never going to get paid to do this. If somebody wants to donate, that's great. But as far as like anybody quitting their day jobs, it's just not going to happen. So, I mean, that's really where you separate the men from the boys in the podcast world, because if you're going to do it, you have to be consistent, and you have to make the decision that it's going to happen no matter what. So as the Mikes and the Dales and the Coles started filtering out, I had to make the decision as to whether or not the padded room was going to continue. And if you've been listening, then you'll know that I did like a good 5-6 months of just doing it by myself.
Yeah, I did. And then you got Miss Monica in there.
Oh, thank Christ.
The thing is you're right. You know, it's still kind of a new thing, but it's like everything else, man. It's like there's 1,000 bands you can listen to. There's millions of bands you can listen to, millions of podcasts you can listen to, millions of shows you can watch. So you have to pick out the best things that you, the things that really hit you or that you really like. You know, and so it thins the waters on anyone ever making any money. And when me and Mike started doing it, it was just like, you know, he got a hold of me after Cadaver Lab stopped and was just like, hey, I want to do a podcast. Do you want to do one? And I'd never done one. I mean, the first 7 episodes of our show, I'm telling him, cut, stop. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, well, hold on. I need a minute here to read over my notes. And then it was just like, no, it's just, you just go for it.
Yeah.
And then it's, so we kind of adopted that. Hey, we don't edit anything out. So if there's oopsie doodles in there or whatever, it's just, it is what it is. But
and you just,
when you got a hold of me, it was just, just do a podcast. And I didn't realize it was going to be a nightmare that took up half my life. but I enjoy doing it. And he's a great guy to do it with.
Oh, absolutely. Now, before you got into the Corpse Cast, you actually had a different podcast of your own, the Diablo Cast.
Yeah.
How did you like doing that? Because you were doing that one by yourself, and I actually listened to it while the Cadaver Lab was going on. And that's the one thing that, I mean, I feel like an absolute nutsack sitting in this room talking to myself for 2 hours. I mean, I'll do it because I feel, you know, kind of a little bit of an obligation to do so, but it just, you know, I just feel like such a nutbag in here. What was your approach to doing the solo cast?
Oh my God, dude, just getting hammered. Basically, that whole thing was just, I would get a hold of somebody and I would say, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'd get a hold of, you know, someone to interview or whatever, if I could get them.
Right.
But it was just basically me drunk, just playing the songs that I like to listen to. And then just, you know, talking a little bit over it or whatever. It was a complete mess, but it was fun because I was just like, I would just sit there, drink and drink and drink and go, oh, ooh, I want to hear this song next. I'm going to put that in there. And you just put it all out, and I think there was, you know, 30 people that listened to it.
Well, I'm proud to say that I was one of them, Shane.
Yeah, and it was fun enough for me.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what it really comes down to. See, that's why I think that you'll never stop doing the padded room, is because you love doing it, and that's it's part of you. It's part of what you like to do. And so I think that, and like you said, where it's the men and the boys, you know, separate the money or whatever, you really have to have a, you really have to enjoy doing it. I mean, for God's sakes, I got to sit across from Mike for 140 episodes. I better enjoy doing this podcasting thing.
Right.
Because that guy be a nightmare.
With all of his diva bullshit.
Parks can also be like one of the sweetest dudes that I know. I'm proud to know. It's what I like is that me and Mike come from two different worlds.
Right.
So I think that I hope that when we do podcasts it comes out that we're people can tell that we're good friends, they can also feel that difference, because I think if you just kissed each other's asses all day long, it would be boring and it'd be like, all right, you like that too? Oh, go. Okay, awesome. Bye.
Well, I mean, just listening to the Corpse Cast, one of my favorite things about it is just that listening to the conflict of dialect. On one hand, you have Mike Cadaver, and he's going on about, I love this song so gee darn much, and I'm not going to say another effing bad word ever again. And then on the other hand, you have Shane Diablo, who's talking about fisting people and who got what put in their asshole last night. And it really comes together in a beautiful, just kind of a, and especially having met you guys and seen you guys on the video show and knowing that you're both these, you know, heavy metal gods in the way you dress and the way you act, you don't really put, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like I'm listening.
Heavy metal gods, I like that.
Oh, you like that? It doesn't.
Heavy metal gods and the way you dress and the way you act. Well, I mean, you're just so amazing. I'm a god.
Especially for Mike, because you hear his voice and you assume that he's just this small, unassuming guy, and he probably wears glasses and a bow tie. But then you see him and you're like, oh, don't crush me, man. Jesus.
I'll tell you right now, I wish he was a small guy in a bow tie, because I'd punch him right in the face. Say, you know, don't you talk to me like that.
That's right.
I'd slap him.
Good times, man. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you... I hated to see the Cadaver Lab go. I was a big fan of Sam, but I'm glad that everything came together the way that it did, because I love you guys. You know that. And I don't know what you're doing over there, but you guys are growing and expanding at an exponential rate. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody out there finds a way to create a job market out of this. It's probably going to be you guys. And I will be right there on your coattails.
It's like our waistbands. You know, it just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Exponential weight. It's just like, woof. No, it's just fun to do. I mean, I don't think that either one of us think that at the end of the day we're going to go, all right, let's... I don't think that even when we started this or even now we were ever going, hey, let's do this all the time. It would be wonderful. I would wish that on Padded Room and Johnny Krug and everyone that could do it. I mean, if there was a way to podcast and pay your bills and go, oh, shit, life is great, I would absolutely wish that on everybody, but it's just the way it is, you know, with the internet, and you can find any entertainment that you ever want to find. That's probably not ever going to happen. So you really have to, like Padded Room, I listen every week. I've missed there's a gap in there that I've missed, but I've listened to the majority of it and I keep listening, and it's enjoyable to me. When I get to work and I hear you and I hear, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get through this nightmare of a morning that I have to deal with. But at the end of the day, you know, you do it because you really love to do it, and not because you think that some guy with a giant cigar is going to go, yeah, see, I think you're gonna be a star, you know?
I wouldn't be opposed to that, though. I mean, I know it'd probably be selling out, but by all means, write me a check, and I will sell out today.
All I got to say is remember my name.
Oh, I will, my friend. Don't you worry about that.
Sell out, and that big cigar-chomping bastard shows up at your door, find me a job. I'll be a key grip. I'll be whatever you need.
I'm calling Shane Diablo, and then I'm calling, I don't know, maybe my mom or something. We'll get her in there.
Well, get mom in there. Come on. She can do something.
Very cool, man. Yeah, Shane, I know that a lot of people like to kind of shit on the recent string of horror movies. Especially, we now have this weird horror hipster crowd that's popping up. And it kind of ties in with the elitist group to where it's like the in thing just to shit on everything that comes out. The prime example of that would be It Follows. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I thought it was a great show. People seem to be just shitting on it just because other people like it so much. Are there any recent horror movies, Shane, that you've really enjoyed?
You know what? I did see It Follows.
Oh, really?
And I just kind of, I left the theater just going, all right. I didn't hate it. I didn't think, I was absolutely indifferent to it. I just went, huh, that was something that I just watched, because mm-hmm. it's just kind of a journey that takes you on and it stops.
Right.
But I can see that with the, I don't know if it's so much hipster. I see more of it from these people that have been around a long time that we all know mm-hmm. that are going, this is just terrible horror. Oh, you know, but it's like, come on, it's just a horror movie, man. You know, a lot of, sometimes with the horror community, it seems to me that it's even more, there's no groups of romantic comedy that are just like, oh, The Note, I hated it. It was terrible, you know. It's specific genre, and people feel like, oh, I've got the voice to just spout my opinion.
Right.
So thing is who cares? It was just a movie. I thought it was okay. I was indifferent to it. It made no difference to me. I didn't feel like, you know, and I spent $30 on tickets and popcorn and Cokes and all that.
Right.
And I walked out of there going, that wasn't bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how people. All right, let's break under this. We're talking about my Walking Dead. This is very subliminal.
Okay.
But everyone wants to shit on my Walking Dead, and I don't like it.
Okay.
I will not have people shitting on my Walking Dead no more.
Easy.
Because it is a good show.
Easy.
Okay.
It is a good show. I like it a lot. I'm a little bit behind, but I have caught every episode. Now, as far as The Walking Dead goes, though, Shane, you got to admit, man, there's some episodes and some spans in there that could use a little tuning up, don't you think?
Absolutely. The second season was a little slow, but listen, you can't be a horror dude with Nicotero,
right?
And all of these dudes that are on there, and you know, making this awesome show, and go, it's a piece of shit. It is not a piece of shit.
No, of course not.
You know, but see, that's the hipster dude, the horror hipster that you're talking about, is the ones that go, I'm just going against the grain just so I can go against the grain.
Yeah, right.
It's like, look at the show. Even if I'm walking in, I'm a granddaddy, and I'm like, what are you watching? I go, Jesus Christ, there's horror. There's zombies on the screen right now. You have to sit down, look at it. Whether you like it or not, that's fine. But you have to respect that it's a pretty fucking good show.
No, yes. I agree. I agree completely, man. Yeah, and it's just a weird turn that I think our entire society has taken, to where whoever wins the award to be the first person to shit on something that everybody else likes gets extra cool points. And it sucks that that's bled into the horror community. But like you said, as far as movies go, there really isn't a romantic comedy community, or you don't see action movie conventions, right? But you do see right. horror movies.
Yeah.
So with that, I suppose, comes a certain need for people to elevate themselves above that crowd and tell you why you're fucked up because you watch The Walking Dead. But at the end of the day, Shane, those people are just assholes, right?
Well, absolutely. And so, they're probably lonely and terrible people.
I'm sure they
are just nasty and terrible.
It's true.
Terrible.
But you'll find that anywhere. I'm sure if you got a job at Taco Bell, there'd be some kid that works there that's going to tell you how your burritos are all fucked up.
Shit in the beans, baby.
That's what
there's always one. There's always a shit in the beaner.
Very cool, man. How do you feel about the remakes? Since we're shitting on stuff.
You know, I'm fine with remakes. It's like I've heard people say, "Oh, how are you doing this?" I go with the idea that, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You can watch the original.
I agree.
I'm fine with remakes. You know, I don't have to see it if I don't want to see it. I won't go see that Poltergeist remake. It just doesn't look good to me.
Right.
You know, and I know you're not a fan of the original Poltergeist.
Not really, but, you know, I think I get it now. I think it's a kid's movie. So, and it looks like the remake is going to be in the same, you know, thought process. So I don't, you're right. I probably don't need to see it.
And it doesn't have Zelda Rubinstein in it, so it can kiss my ass. Because she made that movie. This house is clear.
Oh, she irritated the crap out of me, man. That voice and the way she's jiggling around and stuff. Oh,
she's gone to the light. She's going to give her a spanking. Absolutely, dude. She made that movie.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed her. Not a fan myself. I don't. You know what, though? Now that I think about it, I don't think it was her in Poltergeist. I think it was her on that game show that she hosted for a while. You remember that one?
Oh, my God.
It was it was like Fear. It was like the scariest places on Earth or whatever it was.
I've never seen it. I'm going to YouTube it.
I think it was on like ABC Family or something like that. They'd round up these families and then they'd shove them into supposedly haunted locations, and then you get to see them freak out and stuff. But she was like the narrator of that or something. It drove me crazy.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, so she wasn't in the show.
No, but that goddamn voice of hers was, and that was too much for me.
Tell her you're going to get a spanker. Tell her you're going to give her a spanking. What's his name? T. Nelson Riley? Or
Greg T. Nelson.
Yeah, Greg T. Nelson. You're going to give your little blonde daughter a spanking.
Spanking.
That's right.
Good times. Are there any remakes that you actually enjoyed? Maybe more than the originals?
More than originals. No, not... I didn't mind the Friday the 13th remake. I thought it was just fine.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Freddy Krueger, but I didn't go, this is blasphemy, this is terrible. I just went, no, it's just not a good movie. I liked the dude that played Freddy Krueger, and he played Watchmen.
Rorschach.
Rorschach, yeah. And, like that dude as an actor.
Whenever this topic comes up, the go-tos seem to be Last House on the Left. A lot of people like the remake more than the original. Have you seen those ones?
I think I've seen both of them. We did The Last House on the Left, the original,
mm-hmm.
with David Hess on our show or video show. I can't remember. Yeah, it was on our podcast. I really like that a lot, with the chicken guy and the cops and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's apples and pears, I think, on that.
I can see that. That's good times. All right, Mr. Diablo. Well, we're coming up on the hour mark. I'd like to thank you again and give you a blowjob at some point. You guys have been extra cool to me and my cronies over here at the Padded Room. You guys have been instrumental in getting us, you know, out there and letting people know that we do have a show over here, or a loosely knitted excuse for one. So thank you very much for that. And thanks again for joining me today, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I was excited to do this. I've only been on one other podcast ever.
Really?
And this makes two.
Awesome.
So Darian, you know, I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
I listen every week. I enjoy Padded Room, and I'll continue to do it as long as you keep putting out episodes. It was fun to be on this, and you know, give Dale a hug, give Mike a pat on the back,
okay,
and give Nurse Nicole a deep tongue kiss,
okay,
for me, and just say hello. This is from Shane.
It's going to be a little awkward because I might get those confused. So you wanted the tongue kiss to Mike.
Yeah.
Nicole gets a high five.
High five.
Okay.
And Dale gets the anal bleaching.
Okay. Got it. All right, my friend. I think that's going to do it for today. Shane, thanks again so much for doing this for me, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for asking, man.